Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Right now, he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is just trying to figure out where to buy his road trip playoff tickets right now. Hoinsy, how are you?
Paul.
What's up, guys?
You got to be feeling good. You got to be feeling good. You got another trip coming up here. Congratulations.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going, but yeah, they earned at least one more, maybe one more road trip, right? Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Before we get to anything that really matters.
Oh, good.
If you do champagne when you get the wild card, do you really need to do it again after a loss when you win the division?
Hey, I think those guys just wanted to celebrate.
You know, I think so, too.
Just a drop of a hat, they're going to spray champagne.
I think so, too.
Wait, do they celebrate again when they solidify the bye? And then could they do it again if they can pass the Yankees?
Yeah, I think that might be excess.
Oh, that's a little over the top.
Now we're talking.
Okay,
yeah. Here we go.
Postseason,
here we go.
Qualify for the postseason. Qualify, or clinch the division. Okay. What's the magic number one right now?
Right
to clinch one of the top two seeds.
Correct. And then three. So you got the Yankees. You got 5-3. That seems a little bit daunting with 5 games left to go. But you know what? It's still on the table. I no one thought we were going to be here right now. Did you?
No, I did not see this coming, from a mile away. I thought they'd be fortunate to play 500 ball, but they had the great first half, and they've come on at the right time in the second half.
Hoinsy, how critical is it in two parts here? A, to get Stephen Kwan back. B, to get Stephen Kwan, the guy who hit really well early in the season, back for this team.
Yeah, I think you can check both those boxes, Jeff. They need Kwan back, and they need the version they saw going into the All-Star break. I don't know if that's possible, but if you look at when he came back off the IL in May from the hamstring injury, he kind of took off there. And if they could get him on another hot streak like that, that would certainly help going into the postseason.
Kwan in left. Lane Thomas solidified himself in center field, in your estimation, and who in right for the most part?
Yeah, I would think, definitely Kwan in left, Thomas in center, and you can, they might just go with the rotation, the platoon of Noel and Will Brennan, in right field.
Hoinsy, you got 5 games left, and you get to see the entire rotation. How is this thing going to work its way out to the playoffs, and who is going to be in the rotation when they hit the playoffs? What do you think the battles are going to be?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andy. I would think, from the outside looking in, to me, it looks like, Bybee, Boyd, and Gavin Williams, the division series. We've got to see on, Alex Cobb, is he ready or not? And Cantillo is sitting there. Ben Lively's done a great job all season. So, they have some options, so we'll see how that works. But I would think right now, from the outside looking in, it's Bybee, Boyd, and Gavin Williams. But that's just me. I have no one has told me anything else.
Don't you think Cantillo's made a strong case? They were 0-4 last month in games that he started, but man, they put him up against some of the toughest teams in Major League Baseball. Then he bounces back this month, and the team is 3-0 in games that he's pitching. I think his ERA is like 1.1 something this month. I'm interested to see what he looks like tomorrow night, and I'm interested to see if he's putting enough pressure on them to say, maybe we do give the kid the start.
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. I think you could, the way the ALDS is laid out, you could go with 3 starters. Unless they want to kind of change it up a little bit, because there's some off days in there in between the 5 games. So you know, if Cantillo gets in there, he will have earned it. And he's certainly, and I'm with you, Andy. He's pitched really, really well this month. That one relief appearance that he had, voters pointed to that, too. That kind of really turned him around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looked like a different guy. You know, he's attacked the strike zone. He's been throwing his changeup, his breaking ball, and he's been throwing strikes.
Hoynsey, all we knew about Stephen Vogt when he was hired here was that he had just recently played. He was a catcher. He was funny by doing some of the stuff that he did, you know, for the TV guys, and that he didn't have a whole lot of experience when it came to managing a baseball team. He's done a terrific job. What's impressed you the most about what he's done? What has he handled better than maybe you thought he might?
You know, I think he's handled the kind of behind the scenes, the tough calls that they released Barlow. They sent Tyler Freeman down. You know, they've made some, you know, they DFA'd Carlos Carrasco. I mean, I think, you know, if there was some feel or, you know, want some doubt on how this guy is going to handle, you know, the tough situations, the tough conversations, you know, I think those answered that. And I think he did it in a way, you know, much like Terry Francona did it. He said, you know, you can have tough conversations, but that doesn't mean you have to, you know, create an enemy. You don't have to. You can still, you know, be friends. You can still, you know, have conversations. You can still, you know, be civil to one another. And I think that's been part of it. That's been one of the things that has impressed me. And another is Jeff, that he's the same guy every day. He's positive. You know, all managers have to be positive, but sometimes he takes it to the extreme. But you know, I think that sells in the locker room. He's real. You know, he backs his words up, and I think that has played well in the clubhouse.
Hoynsey, if you had to write the headline on the season, what would it be?
Last time I wrote a headline, Andy, I ended up jumping in Lake Erie. If I had to write a headline, I'd say, where do these guys come from and where are they going?
It's a good one. Well, you actually do headlines the way they're supposed to be written. When we ask people to give us headlines on Friday, they give us like these big, long speeches about things. I wonder how history is going to – I can't wait to see what they do in the playoffs, because that will define the way teams look – the way fans look at this team and try to put them into Guardian/Indians history.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The playoffs always kind of determine, you know, to put the finishing touch on every season. But you know, regardless of what happens, this has been a fun season to cover, I think it's a season where you know it speaks well of the organization that they've been able to come back after last year, 86 losses, losing Tito, not losing, but having Tito retire, and not doing a thing during the post, you know, after the off season to improve this club. You know, they did it with a you know, kind of a banged-up rotation, and maybe the best bullpen that I've ever seen.
Hoynsey and Paul Hoynes joining us from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. I don't want to look ahead to next season, but in this case, I think it's a must. Here we are in September. Shane Bieber did not sign an extension. Is there any way he's back with this next year?
You know, he's kind of left the door open. He's talked to Joe Noga. You know, when they were out in L.A. playing the Dodgers, I talked to him earlier in the season. He said the same thing. I think the Guardians are willing to listen would talk to a Shane. And it all depends where he is on his comeback. To me, Jeff, where is he? How is that Tommy John progressing? Is he going to be able to pitch? How much is he going to be able to pitch next year? So, you know, I think that's into it. The Guardians are real. Their medical staff is really, really good at rehabbing guys like this. Can they do a 2-year deal, something like that, or you know, 1 year with an option? I think everything's on the table. But I think it's 50-50 right now.
I was just going to mention 2-year, Hoynsey. If I'm the Guardians and I could get him to sign for 2 years. I think I would do that. I don't know if that's something that would interest Shane or not.
But, you know, I think you bet on the player. if you're the Guardians. And Shane has always put the work in following injuries. I think he would, you know, I think that would be the ideal situation for Cleveland. But I don't know what Shane, you know, Shane's what his ideas are. You know, he had turned down, they offered him several times extensions. He didn't take it. You know, then he has the Tommy John, and you know, he kind of, you know, he bet on himself, and he had a setback. So we'll have to see where his head is at this off season. But you know, from all indications, at least from when I talked to him, he seemed open to it at least.
What do you think of the Tigers right now going into this? They seem to be, you know, they're that scary team, I think, right now, the way they played over the last couple weeks and being able to get their way into the sixth spot in the playoffs right now, you know, should things end right now. Your thoughts on the Tigers right now?
The Tigers they're playing great, Andy. They are 35-24 since the All-Star break. And on August 27th, when Cleveland lost to Kansas City, and Kansas City pulled into a first-place tie
right
in the AL Central, the Tigers have gone 15-8. Cleveland's gone 15-9. Kansas City's gone 7-16, and the Twins have gone 9-15. And you know, the Tigers won the season series 9-4 against Cleveland. I do not think that's a team they want to see in the postseason right now.
Quincy, we're all happy that this team is where it is right now. Unexpected for all of us. If this team's going to surprise us in the postseason, what's more critical? Really good starting pitching or really good offense?
They have to score, to me, Jeff. I don't think the starting pitching is going to have any remarkable, they're not going to rise from the ashes. They're not going to be more than they have been the whole season. But they're going to have to score. This offense is going to have to score. They can't, you know, they're not going to win too many 2-1, 3-2, 4-3 games, I don't think. So they're going to have to score. They're going to, you know, Kwan is going to have to come back. You know, Jose Ramirez is going to have to produce. Naylor's going to have to produce. They're going to have to get some pop from the bottom of the lineup. But, you know, I think you're going to have to score some runs here.
Is there? I'm wondering about this last series against Houston, what that's going to mean. So last question for you. I'm just curious because it's weird. It's like this. It could be a limbo series for both teams.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Because you know they win one game. They win one game here in this two game series against the Reds. They clinch the second seed, and you know that was really important to this team, this organization. They did not want to go into the wild card series again. So that kind of shuts Houston out of the top two seeds. So that makes what? If they win tonight, that means what? Four games that really kind of, you know, you're just kind of getting
right
guys ready or, you know, getting guys some work. But then you
could end up to turn around and play them in the playoffs. I mean, because then you're looking at Detroit-Houston as a 6-3.
So I don't know if you're looking, you know, if you play those final three games, like your spring training games.
Yeah.
If you've already locked up the seed, I don't think you're going to shoot too much. You're not going to have your starters go too deep. I think it'll be based on where these guys are at, who needs rest, who needs to stay sharp, all that stuff.
The only thing that's good is that they still have a shot at the Yankees, too, to get that top seed. So we'll worry about that when that happens. Hoynesy, thank you so much. We always appreciate you.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hoynes, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, super friend of the show, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Dodge Ram.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hotline. Not that I want to have a confusing conversation, but I don't know if this is a turn on or a just turn the channel.
So I'm going to get confused here?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
When you look at what the playoff races are down to now in the American League, I'm just going to put it that way. you still have a possibility, which is pretty amazing, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. How'd I do? Did I count okay? 10?
You're lucky I can't type fast enough.
I know.
I'm
10 teams are still technically have a shot for the playoffs.
I'm trusting you completely with all of this.
6 will make it. 10 have a chance.
Scary.
The 4 that are on the outside looking in right now are the Twins, the Mariners, the Red Sox, and the Rays. Those 4 are out because they do not control their own destiny. We do know who does. The Yankees, the Guardians, the Astros. Well, I don't even know if the Astros do. So, all right, Dan, break it down for us. Let's go back to the 2.5-hour newsroom and break it down for me.
Look, it's really simple out there for anybody who's paying attention. If you're a Guardians fan, you're just trying to win. Every team you're going to go up against has some level of flaw. It's a matter of how you want to... Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say you probably want the bye just because the bullpen is so blown out. You can give it a couple days. I could see the argument.
You know, we keep saying that, but they don't seem to care that everyone keeps saying that.
Scott Barlow did.
I kind of don't want the bye. I still don't kind of want the bye. I know everybody says I should. I know I'm probably wrong on this. I still kind of don't want the bye because...
You don't have to grit your teeth. You're on the radio. No one knows.
I do have to grit my teeth when I say it because it's fun.
Does it give us more of a vocal impact?
Oh, is that how it works? Mm-hmm. Okay, theater of the mind. Keep doing it.
You know, we do the best we can with the elements we have. So, the Orioles are probably in, right? They're 4 games up in the wild card. I think we could pretty much chalk that one up. The O's are in. Okay. The Detroit Tigers.
I like what they've done.
So do I.
And can then get good.
Well, and also.
Draft like crazy as a result of the tanking.
There's your winner. Be very, very patient with what you're doing. Yep. Yeah. The only thing I don't like.
Trading away good young major league talent.
I don't like how they mess with Camden Yards and move the left field back.
But that wasn't good.
Yeah, I don't care for that. Don't touch Camden Yards. Camden Yards is perfect.
It's a museum.
Do you think that? Anyway. Never mind. Keep going. I was going to get nitpicky. Keep going. Not going there. Keep going.
So the Tigers and the Royals are tied for the second spot right now. So it would be to get the 2 in the wild card. The Royals would get the 3 in the wild card. We know those teams too well.
With cheese or no?
Tigers are playing really good ball. You would see Tarek Skubal in a series. You'd see Riley Green, who's picked it up too.
He's been really good as of late. Yeah.
Right. And the Tiger bullpen has turned it around really nicely as well. Twins are on the outside looking in. They're a game out. The team that scares me, if I had to pick one, would be the Seattle Mariners. And it's just because they are starting to hit finally, and the starting pitching is awesome. And so their pen's pretty good, but they roll with those stars.
Their starters are really good.
Yeah, you would go into a series and see Logan Gilbert and Luis Castillo and all those guys, and it's buckle in. You're about to have a rough night at the office.
Okay, let's play this game. And not you're going to be able to pick whether they're the 1 or 2 seed, right? You're still in it to win the 1 seed.
Correct.
The Yankees have to kind of fall apart, and you've got to kind of win out here. At least have to win 4 out of 5.
And the top 2 seeds in the new playoff format get byes.
Right.
So keep that in the back of your head as well.
Avoiding 3-game series.
Correct. You are out of those 3-game series. You would start on the 7-game series, and you would host.
Tell me I'm wrong for this.
You're wrong.
This season has been such an improbable run by this team. Everything that you've just talked about, who's in, who's out, who you might want to play, everything else, I've paid absolutely no attention to.
Really?
Yeah, and I usually do. But this has been such an improbable run, I've paid no attention because my thought has been, great, hopefully you get the bye because that you avoid the 3-game series, anything can happen in those. And then whoever the team is, I don't care who it is because it's improbable that they're anyway. So I don't care who you play. I would think it would be improbable that they would win, and I would think they would have every chance to because that's what they've done all season long. So for the first time in a real long time, I've paid no attention to everybody else because our team has just been such a pleasant surprise. My thought is, great, just give me somebody. Let's go play.
History will also tell you, and it's what his fear is, that it doesn't really matter anyway because a wild card team has just as good a chance as a team
Absolutely.
That's going to win the DS.
Sure.
So I kind of understand that too, but if you could pick your poison, Dan, and I don't even know that it matters if you're the 1 or 2 seed, who do you want to match up against in that first round? If it mattered.
I want the Royals.
Yeah.
I think the Royals are on a downward spiral. I think the Pascatino injury has just sent them spiraling. And I would want them. The Twins are kind of in the same boat. Like I want the guys. I want the teams that I know. The team I don't want
is Detroit.
Here you go.
No, I don't want the Mariners.
Yeah,
I don't want the Mariners.
Because that starting pitching could hold our team to -3 runs.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
I don't want the Mariners. And their pen is pretty good on top of it. And if they can hit, which has been their Achilles heel all season, is the fact they haven't been able to hit. Like, Scott Service got fired because this team was so bad at making contact. I mean, it swung and missed like there's no tomorrow. And they finally started to pick it up. I don't want the O's either. I don't want the Orioles. And somebody else can worry about
really,
that problem.
I really like the Orioles.
So, but here's the
thing. I don't want Corbin Burns.
The Mariners still...
No, thank you.
The Mariners still have a chance to grab the 3 seed.
Right.
Which means that they could win the West.
Correct?
Yeah. So they're 4 games back in the West with 5 to go. So, I mean, they've got to win out and the Astros have to lose out. And aren't they playing each other this week? Their series right now. And then, because we know that the Astros... wrap up with us, so that's going to be even more interesting. Like the Guardians could be in a place to kind of zap the Astros out of winning the West, but the Mariners would have to win all the way through. I just looked at that.
Yeah, if we're like power ranking them, for me, the Orioles are one. That's the team I don't want to see. I have no interest in going up against that team. That I have a feeling they could be a loud, loud team in the playoffs.
Wow, you want to talk about an interesting series? Starts tonight, Seattle and Houston. You want to keep your eye on that. That'll be, those guys play tonight.
If you got multiple TVs in the MLB package, this is your week. This is going to be awesome.
Dan, you might need a tissue. You have saliva coming out of your mouth.
I'm so happy. This is my time of year.
Huh. I like this, though. I like the fact that we're talking about 10 teams in the American League have a shot to be in the postseason here with just 5 games to go. I think that's great. It's great for the game. It's been a good year for the game. At least maybe because we're sitting here in Cleveland and our team has done well.
Yeah. Andy, this has been just a great run. It really has. I mean, how much fun has this been?
It's been a blast.
Unexpected fun.
Especially when you look at the rotation.
It's been a real easy team to root for. I mean, one guy who started the season in the starting rotation is still there. One. And you're talking about first round bye. Come on, man. That's so improbable. So improbable. Credit to the front office. Credit to Carl Willis. Credit to Stephen Vogt for milking the heck out of that rotation and using the bullpen like crazy. I mean, these guys have done a really nice job. And wouldn't it be stunning if this is the year, you know, you get to the World Series with this team? Goodness gracious.
I think the big winner is Jose Ramirez, if they can, the deeper they go. Right? Here's a guy that decided to stay. He decided to stay.
Might have the quietest 40 home run, 40 steal season in history. He's got to hit another bomb, but he might have the quietest.
I don't know. I
it's really true.
Of all the guys you're happy for that they've had this kind of a season, it's him. This thing could have easily fallen apart early. I mean, it's not like we're not looking at, you know, marquee names on this team either, right? And now all of a sudden you've got some names that have
very few marquee names.
Oh, you know, Manzardo's been fun the last couple.
Guys have answered the bell. That's been the thing. I mean, Manzardo looks like, before he didn't look like a keeper. He looks like a keeper, you know? Josh Naylor to me is so much fun. I love that guy. I mean, you talk about the heart and soul of a team, and I know everybody thinks it's Jose, and hard to argue with that, but I'll put Josh right there with him. I mean, Josh has a heartbeat going, man. He keeps those guys going.
All I know is
they're fun.
Miles Straw is the highest batting average on the team right now. Yep, .333.
Stop the season.
I'm glad they brought him back up.
Well, we'll see what kind of a role he plays in the postseason. Is he on the roster? Is he not?
I hope he is on the roster and he has a huge play, a huge defensive play that makes a difference in one of these games.
That would be wonderful.
You know, because it eliminates the fact that he wasn't here all year. Because you'll remember the playoff play, won't you? And you'll be like, oh, man, that guy wasn't here all season. Oh, well, now he was worth it. He was worth the contract. If you win a playoff game because of a great play that he makes there, then, you know, history has a way of just, you know, if you're a winner, you can rewrite some stuff that happened throughout the season. What did you think of Hoynsey's thoughts on the rotation? And what he thought. What did he think? We'll go back and talk about it. He had Bibee, Boyd, and Williams.
Yeah, that's... I get it. I mean, Gavin Williams can be really special, but he hasn't been consistently special this year. And so they'll have a decision or two to make as to who starts and who doesn't. It's got to be Cobb. It's got to be Bibee. What else are you going to do?
Cobb's got to be healthy. I mean,
how do you turn your back on what Ben Lively did?
I mean, how do you? I mean, he was your glue when everything was falling apart.
He hasn't been as sharp, down the stretch as he was early.
I would love to see them give Cantillo a chance, especially if you think you only need him to go four innings. The way he's been pitching, how do you walk away from the hot hand? Perhaps the hottest hand on the team.
Maybe he's your long guy, Anybody gets in trouble, here comes Joey.
I don't know. I wonder what analytics says about it, too. That's the other way on that. All right, let's come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the Guardians. Obviously, we're going to dive back into the Browns when we do NFL Rapid Fire at 1 o'clock. But I also want to talk about something else that's going on that might catch your eye this weekend. What are we talking about? We'll explain next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092. NFL Rapid Fire coming up at 1 o'clock. Plus, we're also going to get back into Major League Baseball here coming up a little bit later in the show. All right, I'm curious. This is one of those Andy wants to know what you think things.
Oh, boy.
Anybody care about golf anymore? President's Cup is this weekend. It's USA against the world. Yeah. Anybody care?
Yeah.
Ratings are down this year.
Yeah.
I mean, brutally down. Ratings for the majors are down this year. I think the Masters was down 20% this year. The final round of the Masters, 9.58 million viewers, down 20% from 2023, despite the drama being equally tough the last couple of years. If you take out the COVID Masters, it was the lowest rated Masters since 1993.
Wow, really?
Final rounds of the Phoenix Open, 2.38 million viewers. Arnold Palmer Invitational, 2.29 million. Down 30%, despite the amazing finish at the Players' Championship. Final round was only viewed by 3.53 million viewers, down 15%. What is going on with golf? Anybody care?
Yeah, I care. I care that they ruined it.
I tried to make this argument, and you tell me, because we talked about this on the conference call. Between the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour – Jeff and I, because I think were you an open wheel fan for a long time?
I loved it.
Okay, so did I.
I did an open wheel fantasy league.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
I don't know. And maybe it was Bobby Rahal that made me interested, or knowing that we had the Budweiser 500 here, we had the Cleveland Grand Prix here. I kind of got into it a little bit, and then they split. They split in half because it was Tony George from Indianapolis.
The Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Who owned that, decided that, in essence, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this.
The thought was
that they were spending too much money on the cars, and that they wanted to get into a car that would be about $1 million rather than $1 million engine on a kart open wheel racer. You now have
They wanted to restrict expense. Also wanted to make it a more American tour.
Right.
Rather than having it as like AAA for Formula One.
Right. And that failed miserably.
It sure did, because look at all the foreign drivers now in open wheel in our country, which is great. I mean, if you can drive, you can drive.
But it's still AAA.
It still is.
Yeah.
But now it's AAA for guys who are foreign guys who are hoping to get back and drive F1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I the feeling I had when all that happened made me think look, golf's going in the same direction. LIV Tour took their guys.
Did it to themselves.
Yeah, and then PGA didn't help themselves by changing when they're playing their majors. I don't know that helped.
I don't know if it did either. It shortens the golf season in my mind, because it used to be with the PGA Championship extending into August, late August. And it was usually after Firestone. Time
when, yeah, when the it was Firestone the week after here.
It just seemed like it was a longer run, and now it ends when, guys, when was the Open? Mid-July? Like,
yeah.
Late July?
Months ago.
So it goes from mid-April to mid-July. What's that? May, June, July. 3 months. That's it.
I just think it's, you know, I was reading, there's a great site called mygolfspy.com, and they talked about a lot of this stuff, talked about the ratings, and they said that, and this is why, they tried to answer the question, why is viewership down? He said, for those defending the tour will point to an unfortunate first 4 months of the year. The AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am was set for a solid final round drama until weather forced the event to be called after 54 holes. I think you remember back, because I think we talked about that for a little bit. The game stars, and several of them are on the live, have decidedly been mediocre so far in 2024, while Scottie Scheffler has, you know, vacuumed up four victories. Other notables have yet to win or contend. It's created a boredom issue where the tour is searching for storylines. Scheffler's playing arguably the best golf since peak Tiger, but it doesn't inspire much with his personality. That's what it said on My Golf Spy.
Tiger's personality wasn't over the top, you know, bubbly.
All he needed was that smile.
All he was,
man,
was great.
That smile and his unbelievable play.
And his unbelievable game. I look forward now, Andy, to the events where the LIV guys play the PGA guys. You know, and that's the majors for the most part. And I will pay more attention to those. I don't recall sitting down and watching a PGA Tour event this year, period. And I used to all the time. It just doesn't do much for me anymore. And I hate to say that. I miss, you know, I want to see John Rahm. You know, I want to see Brooks Koepka. I want to see Bryson DeChambeau. But along with that, I want to see Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, and all these other guys. And they're in two different places. And I don't have time to sit down and watch all that golf.
So I
haven't.
I'm not going to lie.
Watch the Masters, though. I watch the majors.
I'm going to compare this to, and I know you're going to be like, get over it, but I can't. Like, when the Browns moved, it was hard to watch the NFL on Sundays because I'd sit there on Sundays and just be aggravated and mad. And if I ever saw Baltimore on there, it used to just make me fume the years that the Browns were gone. And I know it was a long time ago, and you got to turn the page at some point. And, you know, we've had a team long enough that shouldn't have that feeling. When the PGA took the tour away from Firestone, I kind of had the same feeling. It made me not want to root for PGA, LIV, didn't care. Because I was like, why would they do that? Why, you know, it was greed. Greed was one of the biggest reasons they walked away from Firestone. Because they wanted to end up, where'd they end up? They ended up in Texas at some really bad course.
No, I thought it was in
Nashville.
Memphis. It was Memphis, yeah. I mean,
you're right, Memphis. Yeah.
It was a garbage course, too, compared to Firestone. And I was just like, you know what? The greed is just out of control here, especially for a course that had the history that Firestone did. And that just kind of, I don't know, just gave me a sour taste about the PGA Tour. They didn't care. They didn't care about all the history they had here in Northeast Ohio and all the great events we've had here. I don't know. Maybe we can get a U.S. Open at some point. I just don't know how that plays out.
Name the course.
Do you expand Firestone?
I don't think it would be Firestone.
I don't know. And I just don't know. We have so many great courses here too. It's a little bit bothersome when you get into that. We were also going to talk about Scottie Scheffler's caddy there for a second. What's the scoop there?
I saw this and I thought we got to at least bring this up at some point. He's made a ton of money this year. Right?
Right.
According to reports.
Scottie is, yeah.
Like he's made $62 million this year.
Wow.
And the way it works, you know, they get a percentage. And the caddy, apparently before Scottie even clinched the FedEx Cup, which alone brought him $25 million, Scottie had made $62 million. So even before that FedEx Cup, according to reports, the caddy had made $2.6 million.
Wow, really?
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. And here's the best part. That alone, and this isn't, you know, including the FedEx Cup, that alone would have made him the 58th player on the PGA Tour money list. Is that
really?
Great? Oh, yeah. Only,
wow.
Only 57 players made more money than Scottie Scheffler's caddy on tour this year.
Kids, think about that.
Is that great?
When you're going
Ted
out.
Ted Scott's his name.
I don't know how many courses still have caddies around here, but still. you still got to wonder, like, if you're a kid, hey, you got a chance to make a lot of money somewhere down the road, right?
Heck yeah.
Think about that. Better to be a caddy? It's almost like being a backup quarterback. Oh, no, you got to do work, though. You got to carry that bag, man. It's not, that is not light.
You got to be in shape to carry that bag all around. And then
you got to know the course.
And show up early and, you know, stay late. Clean clubs. 2.8 million. I'm in.
Chill out with the guys. Smoke cigarettes. Try to figure out where you're going to get your next white jumpsuit so you can wear that. Make sure the name is on the back, although it's not your name.
See right. Where the best local steakhouse is. Go eat.
I don't know. It makes me. I might push my kid towards being a full time caddy. Nelson, Avon Lake. How are you, Nelson?
Hello, Nelson.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
Man, I'm a self-proclaimed golf nerd, and I think I have watched less golf this year than I ever have in any other years. And
me too, Nelson.
And I would tell you, this Live versus PGA business has certainly not helped the PGA. I think that the commissioner of the PGA has not helped the PGA. But I would tell you what I think is highly underscored in my humble opinion. Even though Scheffler has been a dominant player, and he has been a dominant player this year, the game seems to be missing that top-tier personality. And the fact that Tiger has all but transitioned out of the game, and the game has not found that super dominant player has in so many ways, I think, has hurt viewership.
Agreed.
Agreed. And I love Scheffler, right? Like, I think Scheffler is a great golfer. I'm just not sure that he is the polarizing personality that Tiger was and probably would never will.
And Nelson, let me throw in Phil Mickelson, too.
Oh, yeah, Phil.
People loved watching Phil.
Absolutely. And that rivalry between Phil and Tiger, it fueled the PGA and viewership. And many thought that Rory would be that guy. And Rory has, in so many ways, he's a great golfer, but he has not lived up to that, the carrying the baton, so to speak. No. So anyways, I hate it because I love the game. I will watch. And I'm the guy who watches the old guys play, you know, the senior tour and the ladies, just because I love the game. But I have to agree, like, viewership is definitely down. And
oh,
I think
it's
that,
way down.
You know, yeah, if they don't fix this between the PGA and the Live, this could be really detrimental to the game going
Nelson,
forward.
I would test you if you knew the international team for the President's Cup, but I'm not going to do that to you. So thank you, Nelson.
All right, guys.
Appreciate it. I'm looking at this international team, and I'm like,
I'll bet there are a couple
of Canadians.
Bet there are a couple of Kent Staters on it. Give me some names.
Oh, Jason Day. Okay, you can live with that one.
Columbus.
Tom Kim.
Tom Kim's really good.
Adam Scott.
Young kid coming up.
Hideki Matsuyama.
See, there's some players on that team.
Mackenzie Hughes.
Kent Stater.
Yeah, there isn't one. Taylor Pendrith. Minwoo Lee.
He's playing really good golf.
Siwoo Kim.
Corey Connors on it?
Corey Connors is on it.
Kent Stater.
Yeah, so you're right. Oh, Kent State against the United States.
Yeah, baby. Come on, Flashes.
NFL Rapid Fire. That won't disappoint. Next, right here, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.